I'd like to welcome each one to the gospel meeting. This evening I'd like to turn to a verse first of all in the book of Romans, the first chapter, 16th verse. The Apostle Paul makes this statement, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel is what we seek to present before you here this evening. The good news of salvation. God sent his only begotten Son into this world to be your Savior, to provide a way for you to go to heaven, to dwell with him. There's another verse that I'd like to look at. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in verse 12, again, we have this word power presented to us here. "But as many as received him," this is the Lord Jesus Christ, "as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And that same power is available for you here this evening. Now, as I look through the audience, I see many of you that have probably been in the gospel meeting many, many times. And I think of myself, I've probably heard the gospel for 50 years or so. And I've sat in many a gospel meeting. How many gospel meetings have you sat in? And what is your position before the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him as your Savior? Or are you still a stranger to the offers of grace? You know, the Lord Jesus, when he was going to Calvary, he passed through Jericho. And as he passed through Jericho, there was Zacchaeus that he met for the last time. There was blind Bartimaeus that he met for the last time. While he was on the cross, there was a thief there that had one opportunity to meet him. And this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ is giving you an opportunity. You know, I was thinking of an illustration of a story that happened when I was a child. As a child, I enjoyed building tree houses. And where we live up in the Northwest, we have a lot of large fir trees. And I built a tree house about 50 feet high in this one fir tree. And I had a friend of mine, very dear friend of mine, that had come over, and he had brought his cousins over too. And so I thought, well, I'll just take them up and show them my treehouse, because I was kind of proud of it. I built it so high and it's so nice. And my friend, he was a little large, chunky boy, and not too agile. And so we climbed up to where the treehouse was, and he stepped out on this little branch, little tiny branch, no more hold him than anything. And down went Gary, tumbling towards the ground. He went all the way down to the last branches. And then somehow he twisted himself across, and those last two branches caught him, and they cushioned his fall, and he rolled off to the ground. Now, you know, in our lives, it's just like that fall. It goes very, very quickly. How many branches have you passed? Are you near that last branch? If Gary would have missed those last two branches, he'd very possibly been killed, because a 50-foot fall is quite a fall. And if you miss receiving Christ as your Savior here this evening, what a fall. It's a fall that you'll never, never recover from. Shall we open up our hymn sheets now to number 11? And you notice here it says, "Will you're," in the first verse. "Will you're," "Will you're," in the third verse. "Will your eyes." You know, this song is speaking to you personally. So listen to the words as we sing it. Would some brother please start it?
"In your anchor, in the storms of
more song. Number 25. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf. Be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed. Be in time. Note the urgency in this song. Let's brother start it, please. I'd like to start this evening with John 3:16, a very familiar verse, and I often think that Scripture is more important than anything that I can say about it, and this gives the gospel so plainly, for God so loved the world. Just think of that. God loved the world, humanity. He loved you. He loved you so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here we find what God thinks of you. His love goes out to you, and it was manifested in sending his beloved Son into this world. We read the verse in 1 John, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He sent the Son to be your Savior. He sent the Son to be my Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's the only way to heaven. The Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we see how much God loves you. What's your response to that love? What's my response to that love? Well, my response was that I took the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 16 years old. I waited many years. I heard the gospel many, many years. But I was very stubborn, and I resisted. And I would pray that you're not resisting this evening, that you've asked Him into your heart. Now let's turn to Isaiah 53, and we're going to talk about the Lord and what He did on Calvary's cross for you. This is a very familiar chapter and often read at the breaking of bread. But I think we'll read it this evening. Consider it during this first part of our meeting. Chapter 53 of Isaiah. We'll read the whole chapter. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone hath turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He is taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he will divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. When we read that verse in John, the first chapter, and the 12th verse, the verse that goes before that tells us about when he came into this world and came to his own people. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And that's what we have in this first part here of this chapter. Here, the eternal Son of God came into this world and became a man. This time of year, most of Christendom and this world is celebrating Christmas. And at this time of year, they talk about the Lord Jesus being born in Bethlehem. But just think of the one that was born in Bethlehem, the one from all eternity, the one that was always with the Father, the one that the Father sent into this world, the one that the Father loved and was his delight. And yet, because of sin, man's sin, your sin, my sin, God the Father sent the Savior into the world. We read in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that includes everyone in this room. There's not one person left out of that category. And so the Lord Jesus had to come into this world and had to go to Calvary's cross and die and suffer that we might have life. He came to give life, but he had to give his own life before he could give us life. And we find that he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And when you consider who this person was, consider his love then. Because it says he was despised. The eternal God was despised and rejected. We find that when he was born, Herod sought to kill him. When he came to preach the gospel in his own city, Nazareth, what did they do? They tried to thrust him over a hill to destroy him. When he came to the cross, what did the people cry out? They said, not this man, but Barabbas. Crucify him, crucify him. He went all through this. He went through all of this. He knew what was going to happen before. He knew everything that was going to happen. But his love was so great for me, for you, that he went through it. Love compelled him to go. And what does the fourth verse says? He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Think of those three dark hours on Calvary's cross where he hung there and God laid our judgment upon him. The blessed Son of God dying there in our place. He was wounded for his own transgressions? No, for our transgressions. You know, when we read these verses, it might cause us to stop and think of those verses in Romans, the fifth chapter. And maybe we could turn to Romans chapter 5 and just read a few of these. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if you're still in your sins here this evening, Christ died for you. Isn't that wonderful? He took on your guilt. He took on your penalty. Ninth verse. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so consider what God did for us, even knowing what we would do and what we would be. He still sent his Son. And the Son came and went to Calvary's cross. Let's go back to this 53rd chapter and the 6th verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that's the way mankind has gone. That's the way man's heart would lead him away from God. But you know, God in His love, He's reaching out. He's reaching out to each one. You know, there's still time. There's still time to turn. Turn from your way and turn to God's way this evening. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Just think of that. Just consider that. He came bound to the cross, bound by love, that wonderful love for lost sinners. Bound as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb. As it was remarked today, he could have called 12 legions of angels. He could have spoke the word and destroyed everyone there. But that's not God's heart. You know, too many people think that God is a vengeful God and he's just waiting to get even with you. No, God isn't that way. Sure, you've sinned. You've come short of the glory of God. Each one in this room knows what's in his heart, what he's done. God knows it too. But you know, the Lord Jesus, he went to Calvary's cross knowing what was in your heart. He went to Calvary's cross so that you could be saved. He shed his precious, precious holy blood on Calvary's cross for you and for me. The eighth verse, the middle part, says he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. The fifth verse, the ninth verse, says he made his grave with the wicked. And I mentioned about that thief on the cross. There was two thieves there. They both had the same opportunity. And each one in this room has the same opportunity to come to Christ tonight. One came and one refused. One cried out, "Lord." The other one ridiculed him. The opportunity was there. The opportunity, my friend, is here this evening for you. It says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. You know, it should really please the Lord to bruise us. We're the ones that did the terrible things. We're the ones that are sinners. The Lord Jesus wasn't the sinner. But God knew that there was only one way of salvation, and that was for his beloved Son to shed his precious blood. And so, in the 10th verse, it says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. This is the only offering for sin. There's no other offering. You can't come through with your good works. You can't come through with a new leaf in your life, because we're getting close to the end of this old year and coming to a new year, and many people will put out resolutions. They call them New Year's resolutions. And they'll try to turn over a new leaf. That isn't going to make any atonement for your sins. There's just one atonement for your sins. And we're reading here in God's holy word. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was the one that made the atonement. He's the only one. But you know, we read here later that he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He'll be satisfied. And he is satisfied. God is satisfied with what the Lord Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross. Who do you have to deal with? With your fellow man in regards to your sins? No. You have to deal with a holy God. And the Lord Jesus has intervened for you. He intervened when he gave up his life on Calvary's cross. Twelfth verse says, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This is what the Lord did for you on Calvary's cross. This is what he accomplished. How are you going to take it? How are you going to take God's love this evening? He's laying it out to you. What is your answer this evening? Now let's turn to 1 John, 5th chapter and the 11th verse. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's very plain here that you have to have the Son of God. Do you have the Son of God this evening? Do you know him as your Savior? I remember when I was a child in Sunday school, my Sunday school teacher used to ask the boys in our class, have you accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? And he would ask this, and I would be silent every time, because I hadn't. And finally, I got kind of tired. Well, if I tell him yes, yeah, I've accepted him, he would leave me alone. And so the next Sunday when he asked this, I said, nodded my head, yes, I've accepted him. I hadn't really accepted him in my heart. A few days later, I was playing with some friends of mine. And these boys had been going to a different Sunday school. And the one boy, his name was Eddie Lonigan, he said, Al, have you ever asked the Lord into your heart? And I said, no, Eddie, I never have. I was honest with him. You know, I was dishonest in one place, I was honest in the other. And God wants you to be honest with yourself. You know, it was several years later before I came to the Lord. But thank God I did come and accept him as my Savior. Now, you might be fooling your parents, your friends, but what's your relationship with the Son of God this evening? This verse says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have a doctrine? Do you have a good life? They're not going to count. It's only he that hath the Son of God. That's the only thing that's going to count. Now let's look at a couple men. And they're going to reveal something to us in regards to what happens to the one that hath the Son and one that hath not the Son of God. And let's turn to Luke 16. Luke 16. And this is a very familiar portion of Scripture about two men. And the portion doesn't really say too much in regards to the relationship to God, but we can take it for granted that the one man had faith and the other man didn't. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. And there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that when the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now earlier we read from Isaiah, one of the prophets, and it told us of the Lord Jesus and what he was going to do. Here's two men, like I had mentioned before. It doesn't make the difference that this one was rich and the other was poor. But one had Christ and one didn't. One had faith and the other didn't. There was quite a contrast between the two. And we would think of this rich man, it would bring up the verse in Mark, the 8th chapter. Let's turn to Mark. Chapter 8 and verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Very solemn words, these words are. But that we find here, this rich man, he apparently had no time for God. No concerns about anything but this life. And he apparently had a very easy life. And it says a certain rich man, so this was a real person. As was remarked here a while back, this isn't a parable. This is something that actually happened. And you know, there's many people in this world that think about their life down here. Think how, what they're going to do, what they're going to accomplish. And I think of a man at work. He wasn't a rich man like this, but he had worked for the post office for many years, enough years to retire, and he was well liked by his customers. And this man retired. And he had plans. He had plans that he would enjoy his retirement. He had bought a motor home. He had done some investigating about fishing. He really loved fishing, and he had made some charters planned some trips up into Canada. The man retired from the post office. He started enjoying his retirement. This enjoyment only lasted less than a month. He didn't even get his first paycheck. He was fishing up in Canada, and somehow the boat that he was fishing in tipped over. And Dean Main, that was the man's name, he fell overboard. And he drowned within 6 feet of the shore. The shoreline dropped off very quickly, and there was no footing for him. And apparently he was not a very good swimmer. And he drowned within 6 feet of the shore. You know, when I read this, I often think of Dean Main, because I had talked to Dean about his soul before. And he gave no indication of being even interested in accepting the Lord as his Savior. And no doubt he's in the same place as this rich man. There's really only two places to go, isn't there? That's all Scripture gives us. There's no purgatory, or there's no other place. There's no annihilation. There's two places to go, either heaven or hell, one of the two. This rich man, he went to hell. And it says in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. What a terrible, terrible situation. But this situation cannot be changed. Nor will it be changed for anyone that rejects the offer of salvation. You know, God is giving out eternal life. And he gives eternal life to anyone that will accept him, his Son, as their Savior. But there's also eternal judgment. And eternal flame. Eternal punishment here, and that's what this rich man was suffering in, was agony. Because it says he wanted just Lazarus to come and just with a drop of water touch his tongue. So severe was the suffering there. I was once in the hospital when I was 20, I think I was 26 years old, and I was in there for quite a few days, and one evening I heard this terrible moaning. I couldn't understand what was happening. There was just all this terrible moaning and groaning, and a man was just shouting and screaming at the top of his voice. Well, after they had taken care of this man, they brought him in the same room that I was in. It was a room that had 6 beds in it. And they put him in the room that I was in, and I learned what had happened to him. He and another man were cleaning out a boiler and a water heating system in a large building, and it was a large boiler. And they thought they had released all the water out of there, drained all the water out of the system. And they crawled into this boiler and started cleaning the inside of it. And while they were in there, there was water that was released from a reservoir someplace. Hot, scalding water. And that water came gushing in to where they were. The one man was only burned on his legs, lower part of his legs. But the man that was in the same room that I was, he was scalded all the way up to his neck. Scalded, terrible. And when I read this about this rich man and his agony in hell, I can understand a little bit from this man that was scalded by boiling hot water. This man was suffering terrible, and there was no relief. And the rich man here, there was no relief. There's quite a contrast, isn't there, between the two here. Here this rich man is suffering in hell. And Lazarus, where is he? He's in Abraham's bosom, or the place of the faithful, the ones that believe God. What was Lazarus enjoying? Let's turn to Psalms chapter 16. Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11. And thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's where Lazarus was. That's where he was enjoying. And in Revelation, he'll tell us a little bit more. Revelation chapter 21. Chapter 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Think of Lazarus, how he suffered in his lifetime, but there was no more suffering at this time, was there? Dear friend in the audience this evening, if you would die like these two died, where would you be? Could you apply the verse to you that the Apostle Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord? And I pray that each one in this room can. And it's very simple. If you can't do that, just look up to the Savior. Look to the Savior like the thief on the cross did and cry out, Lord, save me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you have an opportunity this evening. You know, and I don't read these verses about this rich man to put fear into your heart, but I read them to warn you that there is eternal punishment. There is a reckoning with God. It says in Hebrews, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Where will you be? You know, God had no desires to send any man to hell. You know, hell, Scripture tells us, was prepared for the devil and his angels. But man goes there if he does not accept God's only beloved Son, there's only one place for man to go because of his sins. Let's turn to Revelation. We've read this here about Lazarus and the rich man, and we read about the circumstance of where the rich man is, but we're going to read what's going to happen in the coming day. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. This rich man's going to stand there. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here's a whosoever. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life. How do we get our names into the book of life? Merely turning to the Son of God and asking him to be your Savior. Your name will be placed in the book of life. Let's turn back to Romans, the 10th chapter, and we'll find another whosoever. You might say this evening, are you saying in your heart, I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior. What am I to do? Romans, the 10th chapter, 13th verse says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let's go back to the 9th verse. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and believe in thine heart, ask the Lord Jesus into your heart this evening, if you haven't. Do it tonight. Don't put it off. Don't wait one moment later. They'll be rejoicing in heaven. The angels will rejoice. The saints here on earth will rejoice. And God will rejoice. Could we turn to number 2 and sing? Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling. Ye with care and toil oppressed, with your guilt however appalling, come and I will give you rest. Number 2.
Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling. Thank you.
Come to the Savior tonight.
Yes.
There is a real urgency. There is a real need that you make your decision this evening. Remember when I first began this evening, I told you about the story about my friend Gary and his fall from my tree house. How far down the tree are you? How many branches have you passed? Are you down to the last branch? This meeting might be the last time that you have an opportunity to hear the good news of salvation, the gospel. What are you going to do with Christ this evening?